earlier, actually a short while ago, the Bank of Korea increased its benchmark interest rate by 50 basis points to around 3%. We're going to take a closer look now with Kathleen Oh, Korean economist at BofA Securities, who joins us here in the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How much of an inflation problem does South Korea have right now?
So the inflation has been rising above 5% year over year in the past 6-7 months. I mean, it peaked on the headline in June, but that was mostly because of the oil prices rising high, and it fell down to 5% just because the oil prices has, you know, been coming down. But the core inflation has been rising higher and higher. It's now 4.5%, so that is actually the highest on record.
We're seeing, of course, the Bank of Korea really try to counter what's happening with the Fed as well. And, Stemi, the weakness that you're seeing in the won. When we hear from the governor later, what kind of reasoning are you expecting to hear from this jumbo hike?
I think it's the rate differential with the Fed is a concern because it triggers, you know, weaker Korean won, and the FX pass-through onto the consumer prices would be the issue that the BOK has to face. So recently we've done an analysis, you know, calculating the FX pass-through onto the inflation, and, you know, back in the first quarter, it's been just around 9% of the headline inflation rise. But now that the won has weakened so much, around 15% year to date. Now the pass-through has increased to around 22% of the headline. So that's pretty a big, you know, rise in terms of the effect from the FX weakness.
When I think about the South Korean economy, I think about the consumer being so heavily levered. I mean, they're very indebted, and I'm wondering about the knock-on effect. The trade data that we had just the other day was a little disappointing. Mm-hmm. So things are moving into a lower gear, clearly. That's part of the global slowdown story. I get that. But what's the immediate kind of hit to the Korean consumer when you have a rate increase now with a 3% key rate that we haven't seen since about, 2012?
Right. So the rate hikes have been pretty aggressive, and we've moved around 200 basis points in the past year or so. But, you know, the household consumption has been holding up, and it's largely because the pent-up demand on services is still there. I mean, the economy reopened in May. People are still spending, and they're still eager to spend on services, leisure, entertainment, you know, travel, still happening. But as we expect higher rates by end of this year and even February next year, the mortgage rates are going to hit around 7-8% on average. So that's moving upward from 4-5% last year to now, you know, higher around 8. So that's going to put under, you know, downward pressure on household spending. But until then, I think consumption should be holding up this year, but next year definitely an issue.
We talked about the weakness in the won really exacerbating inflation in Korea too. What kind of, I guess, further intervention could you see from officials to try and stem this decline when really a lot of it is about dollar strength?
You're right. So it's the dollar strength, and also, you know, the trade dynamic is deteriorating for Korea. The export slowing, but also import is rising, with the energy prices being elevated. So there's not much the BOK can do to change that dynamic. So the BOK recently has been, you know, coming up with some of the micro level measures. For example, the National Pension Services, which makes a huge, you know, overseas investment, now will be borrowing dollar from the BOK instead of buying it from the market to minimize the impact on the move on the spot market. And the government has also lifted the credit lines for the shipbuilders so that can sell the forward trades into the market. So that brings extra dollars into the market. But none of these will be a game changer. We really need the Fed to pivot or energy prices to come down to, you know, make a structural change in the direction of the Korean won.
What about the improvement of the Chinese economy? I would think that in terms of South Korea-China trade, I mean, this is a critical issue.
I think that's something actually we're really hoping for. If China opens up and the sentiment, you know, gets a positive feed, just any little hint that China would open up and they would make more, you know, stimulus into the economy, production, exports rise higher. I think that could be a good news for the current economy as well as the currency. But we're just, you know, keeping it a bit more cautious to make that as a materialized, you know, story for Korea for now.
So the Bank of Korea warning that 2023 growth may be below their earlier forecast of 2.1%. We heard the IMF also warning of global slowdown in terms of the global economy. What's your view on how Korea fares next year if we don't see China come back online?
I think next year will be definitely more challenging than this year. I mean, this year at least the consumption story is solid with the economic reopening, labor market, you know, holding up, the new hires supported by the services sector and the government stimulus. But next year, the government has tightened the budget and also the export outlook, especially on the semiconductor cycle, unlikely to rebound as, you know, high as what we've seen in the past few years is going to be a challenge. And so for us, if we don't see China rebound or the semiconductor coming back onto the upcycle, both the exports and the domestic demand story will be an issue. So for us, we are looking at 2.0% GDP for growth next year compared to 2.5%. So that's a significant slowdown.
We talk a lot about the chip makers, Samsung, SK Hynix. Let's talk a little bit about the autos as well. I mean, are there expectations that we're going to see a little bit of improvement now? I mean, we're talking a lot on this program about the move toward electric vehicles. There's companies like Hyundai that are playing in this space. Is that going to be a significant contributor?
Actually, so one of the few good news that we can tell, bring from the export numbers is that while the semiconductors are down, you know, machineries, metals, all, you know, manufacturing export products are struggling, but the autos is actually faring better. We're seeing the demand picking up from the U.S. and Europe, especially the EV, the electric vehicle demand, now shifting because of the high oil prices, and the EV battery exports has also picked up recently, so that's also benefiting from the, you know, autos demand shift to the electric vehicles.
All right, so July last year, 50 basis points for the base rate, now at 3%. How much further? When do we see a pause? When do we see even a potential cut?
So we're looking at three more 25 basis point hike from here. So on top of the 50 basis point hike, three more to go. So our terminal rate sits at 3.75% next February. So from the second quarter onward, I think the BOK will realize that the visible deterioration in consumption would be something that the BOK should be watching closely. So they would likely to pause through the end of next year. And when they see a more significant slowdown domestically, I think then the BOK would likely to start cutting from first quarter 2024.
Kathleen, good stuff. Thank you so much for being with us. Kathleen Oh is Korean economist at B of A Securities, joining us here on Daybreak Asia.